This is the Complete Shooter Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Armistead, and the founder of Complete Shooter himself, Kirk Miles. Complete Shooter is dedicated to helping young players reach the next level and achieve all of their basketball dreams. So if you want to know what it takes to be a great player at the high school, college, and professional level, you are in the right place. Welcome to another episode. We got some good stuff today. We're going to talk about some secondary sports and how being a multi-sport athlete can affect your basketball goals and your other goals as well. So some really good stuff coming. As always, I have Kirk here with me, and we got some really good stuff to get into. But first, we wanted to just talk about stuff that's going on in the basketball world. So Utah high school playoffs were this past couple weeks, and now those are all done. So lots of new champions, old champions, lots of good stuff went on.
Yeah, we went to I went to a ton of games, watched a lot of kids that we train, and it's so fun, just the environment of the state tournament and getting there and then watching the games and watching the kids, and it's just a great time of the year.
Yeah. And it's different now than when I was, even just when I was in high school in 2013, where the first couple rounds are played at home sites. And so that's kind of fun, too, to have some home games for the playoffs. And then they go to the bigger places. And I don't know why they switched it from the U to BYU for the final, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. One of the things that I noticed that was so glaring to me with the tournament was that we really need a shot clock.
Oh, yeah.
I am so grateful that next year we'll have a shot clock. I mean, we had teams like Springville. Springville did a back-to-back. You know, they won last year, and they won again this year. But those girls on that team was just so disciplined. I mean, they could hold the ball. At times, they held the ball for 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right? And they were good at it. So you knew that they practiced it a lot, and they did it a lot in games because they were so good at it. And you know, so they've got good players. They've got great guards, and that's pretty much all they are, is five guards on the floor. They don't have a lot of height.
Yeah.
But they beat those teams that had a lot of height. I mean, they just took what team was it? Was it Lehigh?
Yeah.
I think it was Lehigh. And Lehigh, I think they scored 21 points in the game. So I mean, it was and you know, it was just amazing what they did, where, you know, I thought the other team was better, but they were more disciplined. But I am so grateful we're going to a shot clock.
Yeah. It's going to be way better.
Oh, so much.
And I feel like that really separates who can actually score and play defense as opposed to people who can just hold the ball.
Yeah.
Right. Different skill set, but not a very exciting skill set to watch.
No, it's horrible basketball. Yeah. It's not good basketball at all. I mean, you have to admire them for being able to do that, you know, and be disciplined and be able to handle the ball that well and be able to be that good of passers. And, I mean, there's definitely a talent there.
Yeah.
But it's not fun basketball to watch. If you remember, I don't know who was playing Lone Peak, but they couldn't hang with Lone Peak. So, remember in the third quarter, they held the ball the whole quarter. And Lone Peak didn't come out and get them. So they stood there with the ball under their arm.
Just sat there.
For 8 minutes. They just held the ball.
Yeah.
You know, to try to keep it close. Which, it's a strategy. But, you know, it's not good basketball. So having a shot clock is going to really, really help if those teams that get a little bit behind, they still have a shot.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, for sure. Playoff basketball is just awesome, though. So I was mostly following the 5A playoffs because that's where Olympus is at, and that's kind of where most of my kids are going. So I was following that, and they kind of Olympus kind of breezed through the first couple of rounds, and then they get to the championship, and they're down 5 at halftime, and it was like, this is awesome, right?
Yeah.
So, and they ended up winning, but it was.
Yeah, and they probably averaged 70 a game.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll bet they, in the playoffs, they're in the 40s.
I think, yeah, championship game is like 41 or something like that. Yeah. Like really, really low.
Yeah, and it's just because in state, coaches that are like really want to control the game in normal basketball. Then when they get to state, it gets that desire grows so much bigger, and so everything is just slowed down. Yeah. And some of those coaches know they couldn't hang with Olympus if they got in a run and gun
shootout. Yeah.
One of the best basketball games I ever saw was in the 3A tournament where Morgan was playing Desert Hills, and the ending score was 80-81.
Wow.
It was just
Overtime or anything?
What's that?
No overtime or anything?
No overtime.
Wow.
80-81. And it was just up and down the court, you know, threes. I mean, it was just such a fun game to watch. We ended up winning, so it made it a little nicer.
There you go.
But it was an up and down game. It was an awesome game to watch.
That's awesome.
So I think the shot clock's gonna help. I one of the commentators on one of the games said, well, I think the scores with the shot clock, this is my prediction, and this guy's a coach, and he said, my prediction is that with the shot clock, scores are even going to be lower. And I just think about that, and you think, okay, if there's a 35-second shot clock, that means there's going to be more shots at goal, right?
Right.
There's going to be more shots taken in a game. And if there's more shots taken in a game, what follows that? More shots made.
Yeah.
Right? So that comment, I thought about that. I couldn't figure out why he would make that comment.
I would guess that it's you're getting more shots, but a lot of them are worse.
Because maybe they're hurried.
Yeah.
Or contested.
Yeah, because you're running out of time and don't get the shot you want, as opposed to shooting a higher percentage of less shots. But
yeah,
either way, I think the scores are going up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're going to see higher scores. I think you're going to see – you're not going to see stalls.
Yeah.
I mean, that's out the
which
door.
Which is great.
Yeah, which is awesome. So, yeah, but that comment kind
of –
I had to think about that.
So with that, do you think that's going to affect how many teams press?
I think more teams will press because they'll take more time off
more
the clock before you can get into your offense. If I was coaching, I'd press.
Yeah.
Because then by the time you get into where you're in your sets and you're going to run something, then, you know, maybe you got 20 seconds, you know. Maybe you got 25 seconds left.
Yeah.
Right?
That's fair.
I've coached in with shot clocks, and when you go and you coach without ever coaching shot clock, and then I went to some AAU tournaments where they used a shot clock, we had so many violations.
Yeah.
Where we went overtime. Number one, I wasn't used to looking at the shot clock.
Right.
Right, I wasn't used to looking at that, and neither was the kids. So it was like, all of a sudden, you hear a buzzer go off.
Oh. Yeah. By the end of the tournament, you have it figured out, but then it's too late.
Yeah. So I think you're going to see a lot of things that the game is going to get sped up.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Game's going to get sped up, and it'll make it a little bit more like AAU ball, because in AAU ball you don't ever see any stalls.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Even if you're up with a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't see stalls.
Yeah.
And a lot of the AU tournaments, depending on what state you go to, will have shot clocks. So, you know, it just I think it makes it so the better team wins.
Yeah.
Right? Because you might be really good at stalling and dribbling and passing and have a good take time off the clock offense.
But that doesn't get you points.
Yeah, that's not basketball.
Yeah. So it'll be really good. I'm excited. I'm sure we probably can't hit everybody, but were there any of our players that we trained that we wanted to give a shout out to that did some things in the tournament?
Yeah, we had some really good the Nordstrom girl from Lone Peak. She had a great tournament. She's a solid player. She was named to the all-tournament team. I'm sure she'll be first-team All-State, at least. So she had a great tournament. Yeah. Some of those Fremont girls had great tournaments. We had the Morgan girls. We have four or five of those girls that we train. Janelle Blazard had a great senior year. She'll definitely be first team All-State. She was first team All-State last year when they took state. They ended up getting beat in the semis, but she had a great tournament and just she's been a starter since she was a freshman at Morgan. And she's just so solid. So she had a really, really good tournament. And so did three or four of the other girls that were on Morgan's team that had good tournaments. So probably what I need to do is go through the entire list.
Yeah.
And then maybe next week I'll have that list with me and I can do a better job in doing the shout outs.
Yeah.
And then within 2 or 3 weeks we'll get all the accolades will come out.
All the awards and stuff.
So yeah, I'll need to write down all those names of kids and then we can maybe do a whole session on those kids.
You're spending a whole hour going over names.
Yeah. what skills those kids have developed, you know?
Because I mean, how many kids total are we at now in the state that we train?
We're at about 588.
588. A lot of kids.
Yeah, so. 588 and 24 gyms. So
There we go.
So it's good. I think within next year, I think we'll have some explosions, and I think we'll be over 1,000 kids.
Yeah.
That we're training.
Well, it works.
Yeah.
So it works. Awesome. Well, let's dive into our topic today, and we're going to talk about secondary sports and being a multi-sport athlete. So I guess to start, talk a little bit about how that's changed in the past 10, 15, 20 years as far as being a multi-sport athlete versus playing one sport.
Yeah, I'll go back to when I was in high school, which was, you know, not quite at the time of the dinosaurs, but it was 40-something years ago. And, in fact, I think it's 47. I think I'm three years away from my 50th reunion. But when I was in high school, they had a thing called the Gold Watch. And for how many sports you lettered in, you got a certain amount of points. So if you lettered in baseball, you know, they all have their, like in basketball, you have to play 8 quarters.
Yeah.
To letter or just get in a state game. And then you automatic letter if you get in a game. So they have their requirements, what you have to do to letter. Yeah. But if you get a letter in that sport, then they'd give you so many points. And they'd keep track of that from the time you were sophomore, junior, and
senior.
And they'd add up all the points for all the kids. And if you didn't play 3 sports, you didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
In fact, some kids would play 4 sports because they'd do track at the same time they were doing baseball.
Yeah.
And they'd make they'd have to bounce back and forth, right? And that gave them more opportunities to letter.
Right.
And so kids were doing all kinds of things to get those points, right? And then at the end of the at the annual award ceremony at the end of each year, they would award the gold watch winner, right? So it was a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
In our high school. And then they had a big plaque that had all the recipients that had ever got the gold watch, and you know, so they made it a big deal. Now we zoom into into our present time, and there's hardly any three sport athletes.
Right.
Number one, I think, because the demand that's on a kid. You know, the coaches, every coach that you play for wants all of you.
Yep. Year round.
They want all of you. And so it's like so much demand on a kid's time, it makes it so it's almost impossible. You know, my son Jake loved baseball, and he is a pretty good baseball player, but basketball was his favorite sport. And AAU ball, spring basketball and AAU basketball all interfered with spring sports. So if you're going to do one, you couldn't do the other, because there's too many conflicts. You'd have games that you had to make a choice. And so we had to make a decision that since basketball was his love, that, you know, we had to drop baseball.
Yep.
Which, you know, that's just another example of, you know, if you're committed to whatever your love is, I mean, you look at every high school nowadays, if you're going to be great at a sport, you maybe play at one other sport.
Yeah.
Right? So I just look at that now with my other kids. Some of my other kids weren't playing AAU basketball. We didn't really get too much into that when I was first getting my kids playing. I didn't really know much about it, but you know, we didn't do a lot of that. But I liked my kids take baseball, for instance. I had a couple kids play high school baseball. And I liked it because it was such a chilled sport.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just so slow. And there's a lot of standing around. You're in the dugout. There's a lot of sitting around, you know. And it's kind of chilled. And I always felt like that was a pretty good thing because basketball is so intense.
Yeah.
You know, the intensity is just pretty much the whole game.
Right.
And so having something where you could kind of chill and be with your friends, and you know, so I kind of like that from that standpoint. But yeah, you just don't see that today because the demand is so great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I feel like even just apart from the coaches, right? If you want to be a really good athlete and be the best basketball player in the state, right? And you see another player that's better than you, and you know he's just doing basketball all the time.
Yep.
Then it's like, well, that's kind of what I got to do, right?
Yeah.
And so, and I think it's getting to that point where most kids by 9th and 10th grade know which sport they want to do, and they start to kind of go into that. And then the other stuff is more for fun.
Yeah.
Right. So it's tough to find, I think, players who are trying to do both at a high level.
Yeah.
So
I can say this, that if I was to do it all over again with my own kids, I would concentrate on two sports for myself. I would concentrate on basketball, and I'd have my kids concentrate on golf.
Yep.
And the reason I say golf is you know, there's sports out there that interact really good with basketball, like tennis. tennis is a lot of good. You got to have the most important part of tennis is footwork.
Yep.
Making sure you're set before you go to hit the ball, right? And so footwork is such an important thing. So that translates back and forth to basketball. Basketball is all about angles. Soccer is all about angles. Soccer is you got to be in great shape to play it. Basketball, you got to be in great shape to play it. So those two sports really complement each other, right? So the reason I'm talking about golf is because there's not another sport out there that demands you to train your mind to be mentally tough like golf does. Because if you're in a golf tournament, you're going to be playing for 4 hours, four and a half hours. You're going to be on the course. Yep. And so you got to be mentally tough for 4.5 hours. And I think mental toughness is the most important thing of any athlete to be successful. Like they say, 90% of sports is played above your shoulders. Yep. We've used that a few times on this podcast. Yeah. But it's so true, right? So training your mind is the most important thing. And golf, there's a lot of frustrating things that happen to you. Yep. You know, every hit's not perfect, right? Every hit, almost there's something that went wrong or something that it's not quite where you wanted it. Or,
yep.
You know, there's a lot of things to get frustrated over. So that really tests you for you to become mentally tough and not let any of those things get to you. Whatever happens, you're going to react to it in a positive way. And you're going to go up to the ball and you're going to address it and you're going to do what you got to do, right? Instead of getting mad about it, right? So being mentally tough is such a huge thing. And so that's why I would do it all over and do golf and basketball would be the two sports that I would. If I'm trying to develop a superstar basketball player, I think golf would complement that.
Yeah. I agree. And I think, like you said, the mental part of it is, like, golf is so mental and so frustrating. But, and I think, like, basketball, it's like you get 3 to 4 minutes at a time where you're, like, really, really intensely focused, right? And golf, it seems like, well, it's only a couple seconds at a time that you have to focus, right? But when you're actually hitting the ball. But I think all that time in between, right, where other thoughts jump in your head, right, and you start thinking about other stuff.
Exactly.
Trying to stay focused for 4 hours, like you said, is tough.
The tough thing about what that is that controlling your thoughts between each shot.
Yep.
As you walk from one shot to the next shot, because in tournament golf, you have to walk. You can't ride, right?
Yep.
So you're walking, so you have plenty of time to think. Which in some cases is not a good thing.
Yep.
It's bad. So being able to control those thoughts is the key to mental toughness. Yeah. So,
yeah, and I think the other part to golf is, again, every sport requires the mental toughness. But a sport like golf, it's just you, right?
Yep.
There's no, like, you're competing against other people, but they have no interaction with you.
Yep.
Right? It's you against yourself. And so that's where golf, and I think, like, tennis to a lesser extent, because you're reacting to the other player, but it's all on you, right? There's no teammates you can blame. There's no coach that you can blame. It's all you. And I think that's, again, a benefit of tennis and golf. And I don't know if you consider darts or archery secondary sports here, but again, where it's just you, right?
Yeah.
And so I agree. Having basketball and then one of those sports where it's an individual sport. Obviously, you can do them as a team. So, like, track and field would be one where it's just you, right? Stuff like that. I think that's a kind of, like you said, complements basketball really well and maybe gets you some of those things that you don't get much practice with in basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, finding things that complement each other, I think, is what we're saying here is to –
and
find something that can help you be better at the other sport.
Yeah, and there's two different kinds of complementary, right? One is complementary skills, right? Building different skills, mental toughness, footwork, whatever. And the other one is the season of it, right? So if you're trying to play, you were just talking about basketball and baseball at the same time, right? Then it gets a little tricky.
Yeah.
Like two winter sports or two summer sports at the same time is where it gets tough, and it's hard to do both at a high level.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about our club. We have a basketball club, and so we have, I think there's a total of 32 or 33 teams that we manage. And we play a fall league, a winter league, a spring league, and then we go to tournaments in June and July. So the only month that we're not playing basketball is August. Right. So in the spring, we have some kids drop out from playing basketball because they want to do a spring sport, which is fine. But eventually, we'll end up looking and building, finding kids that all they want to do is basketball. So that what they want and what we're doing matches up.
Right.
So we just have to go through more numbers to find the kids that want to do basketball. And, you know, we've also had a podcast where we've talked about, doing other sports when you're young, right? And so, and the importance of that, where you're building those mental pathways.
Yeah.
And then once you get to about 12 years old, you know, from 5 to 12, do everything.
Yeah.
Go do all those sports, all different kinds of sports, so that you can find what you're good at and what you love the most. And then, you know, then kind of hone down to maybe, two,
right,
from 12 on. And then it's always good to pick sports that you're going to be able to do by yourself.
Yeah.
When you get out of high school. Nobody plays football after high school unless they go to college and go to the pros.
Turkey bowl.
Yeah, that's true. You know, might play a little flag or something like that. But, you know, there's not that many opportunities, right? Golf, something you can do the rest of your life.
Yep.
I mean, I golf twice a week when the weather's good. So, you know, I'm 65. So golf is something you can do the rest of your life. Basketball is something that you can do for a long time. I mean, I think I stopped playing at age 45, something like that. Just because I got busy with work and different things. But, you know, I could probably still go out and play a little 2-on-2, 3-on-3. But I'm probably not going to go get in a league and run up down the court, you know. But there's a lot of people that go down to the summer games in Cedar City. And they have senior divisions.
Yeah.
And I know guys in their 70s that go down and play in the summer games. So, you know, that's a sport that you could play for a long time.
I think that's why pickleball is so popular.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
It's intense, but it's easy on the body.
Yeah.
It's a smaller court. And
yeah. Quick little movements, but, you're not running. And
yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like taking off. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Have you played that much?
Yeah. So I have an aunt and uncle that are very into it, and so we've played a lot, and they live up in Manaway, so Brigham City, if you don't know, has one of the top three pickleball tournaments in the world every year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because you can drive around Brigham City, and you can see more pickleball courts in Brigham City than I think anywhere else.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. But I didn't know that about.
So I think it's in the world. Yeah, one of the top three.
People come from all over then, huh?
Yep.
Wow. And those are all, those are probably all outdoor tournaments.
Yeah.
Where they're doing them outdoors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't remember what month they're usually in, but now you got pickleball guys being sponsored and making money off of it, so it's growing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But
we have a big pickleball indoor facility that was built by our gym up there in Uinta. And I think they have seven courts.
Five and then two championship ones or something like that.
Yeah. So,
I think like, I think that's kind of the cool thing is there's, like, so many sports out there, right? Like, the other day I watched a video about curling where somebody went and tried curling for the first time, and they were like, wow, this is really, like, way more intense, and you need flexibility and
yeah, I don't understand like that sport.
Yeah.
I've never done it.
I mean.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, like, there's so many sports that you could be a part of just for fun and pick up those things and again, so like, and I think that's just physical activity in general, right? It doesn't have to be organized sports. Like, have you played spike ball? You know what that is?
Let's see. Is that where you're bouncing it off of something? You're bouncing it off the thing, the like a trampoline in the middle or something?
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So spike ball has gotten big, but that's something you can just do for fun and you don't have to go play tournaments, but again, builds like reaction time and change of direction and touch with your hands, right? Because it's a tiny ball, so you can't hit it too hard or it's just gone. And it's a sport like that where it's like you might not ever play in a league, right? Yeah. I don't know if we can consider cornhole in this, but there's cornhole leagues now.
Yeah, I see them on ESPN. They have cornhole tournaments on ESPN.
Yep. Maybe that's another mental one, but but again, there's so many sports that again are just going to do so much more than just sitting on your butt on the couch, right?
Yeah.
So if the choice is between that and sitting on the couch, then any sport's going to help improve something with you,
yeah,
right? And help you get better at basketball, right? But the trick is, and we talked about it a little bit, and let's get back into it as far as when it's time to specialize and when kids start to get too distracted by doing multiple sports, right? And I think one good example is football, which again I think is great for a basketball player as far as building strength and physical traits, but like we've talked about before, that goes all the way up till basketball tryouts.
Yep.
And so what's kind of the, and you've told me about it before, but what's the main problem with football players coming right from football into basketball?
Yeah, I'll say this. The advantage of playing football, and if you're going to be good at football, you got to love contact.
Yep.
Right? Some kids shy away from contact. I have a lot of kids that go to the hole, but they shy away from that contact instead of making going into that contact. And those are probably kids that don't play football.
Yep.
Right? So learning how to love contact is the positive thing to football. Because regardless of what anybody says, basketball is a contact sport. Right? You are running into each other. You're going to bump around. You're going to make contact. So so that's good. That's a good thing. The bad thing is that you have no recovery time if you get hurt. So if you got hurt in football, if it was the beginning of the season, you'd be able to recover probably during football season and be okay for basketball. But if it's in the middle or the end of football that you get hurt, you're probably going to miss 6 to 8 weeks of the basketball season. Basketball season's going to be half over that by the time you get in. The other thing is kids that play football and go to basketball, it takes them half the season to make the switch between football moves and basketball moves. And they are different, totally different. So that's a problem, right? That's why I tell parents that they say, well, I think we're going to stop training during football.
Right.
I'll always tell them that's a huge mistake. They're not going to be able to put the individual workouts in each week. You know, maybe they can do some individual workouts on Saturdays.
Yeah.
But they're really busy, so they're probably not going to get individual workouts in. But if they keep coming to lessons, they're going to stay right where they are.
Yep.
They're not going to regress. They're not going to progress, but they're not going to regress. So they're at least going to stay where they are. So now when basketball season starts, they're ready to take off right at the beginning of the season. Where other kids that don't do workouts during basketball or come to a lesson during basketball season, now it's going to take them half the season, and then they're going to get their shot back. then they're going to, but the season's half over.
Right.
So, you know, those are things that, that I look at that, and believe me, I'm not anti-football. I probably, if I had a choice of watching a sport, a lot of times I would pick football over watching basketball. I enjoy watching football. I really do. Basketball I enjoy watching, but I really enjoy football. I love watching it.
I mean, when the rest of your life is basketball, it's nice to have a break and
yeah,
watch
something. Maybe that's
else.
Why. Maybe that gives me a little gives me a little release or something. But anyway, so yeah, so that's those are the negatives of that. If football was in a different season and you had a season in between, then football would be good for everybody to play.
Yeah.
But it, and again, all this stuff, Jesse, that we're talking about comes back to what are your goals? Let's match your goals and your desires with what your favorite sport is.
Yep.
And then let's have the other things you do complement that, right? Be complements to that sport, like we've talked about already. But looking at that and saying, okay, this is my sport. Basketball is my sport. That's what I love. Well, then you'd be crazy to go play football,
right?
And chance getting hurt, right? If that's you're planning on going somewhere with basketball. Some kids, they're not planning on going anywhere, and if they're not planning on playing college ball, play all the sports.
Yeah, might as well.
Just go ahead. If you can play all the sports, play all the sports. But for the kid that's wanting to, say, get a college scholarship for basketball, that'd be crazy to play football and then have half your season taken away from you.
Yep.
If you got hurt. So it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense at all to do that.
Yeah. And as a player and as parents, right? It doesn't make sense to spend time and money on like our training if they don't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Like exactly.
if they're focused on football, then a lot of times I'm just like, well, go do football then, right? And then play basketball for fun.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I, like, you've, again, we talk about a lot of stuff. So we've talked about before, as far as, like, the level that players are going to get is 90% them, right? Our job is just to get them one level higher.
Yeah.
Right? So if they're not planning to put their 90% in, then it's probably not worth it for us to get them one level higher.
Exactly.
Right. As opposed to telling them, just go do football then, right? Go
get
one level higher there. And it's just like, I'd rather have the kid that's all in on basketball and playing football for fun.
Yeah. Right? On the way here, I got a call from, we're putting an AU team together, a U16 and a U17 team. So I've been on the phone putting kids together and calling, talking to parents. So this parent gave me a call back as I was on my way down here. And this kid's a sophomore. He's a really, really good athlete. And here's proof of how good he is. He's the starting quarterback for football, varsity, as a sophomore. He's on baseball, he's a pitcher, so he's one of the starting pitchers. Last year he threw the ball at 85 miles an hour as a sophomore. So pitching, and then when he's not pitching, he's playing shortstop. And so he's had just incredible success at this high school that he plays at in both those sports. And then in basketball, he's always been the stud. And he just was on the sophomore team. And he hadn't put the time in that he needed to with basketball to excel. And other kids put time in.
Because he didn't need to up to that point.
Yeah. And so, like, with football, you know, there's you know, there's he can go get a quarterback coach. He can do a lot of different things to help him be a better quarterback. There's things he can do to help him be a better pitcher, you know. But the thing that I asked his mom, I said, okay, I love that he's doing all these things. And, you know, I said, probably, you know, he's a stud at football. He's a stud at baseball. And she said he was really frustrated with basketball. And I said, well, yeah. He wasn't the starting point guard or the starting shooting guard on the varsity team. And so he took a step back with and that's hard when he's high level in the other sports, then he expects himself, the air of expectation is so high for him to be so great in basketball, and now he's on the sophomore team. You know, his own grade, he's not really even playing JV or varsity. So she said, I think basketball is his favorite sport, but he had least success with that this year than he did with football and baseball. And I said, well, I think it all comes down to what he wants. What does he want? You know, what is his goal? What has he got the best shot at getting a scholarship at? You know, and going on to play college ball if that's his goal. Maybe his goal is not to play college sports at all. Yep. If it is, have him play all three and just have fun at everything he does. I said, what's his favorite sport? She said the typical statement. Well, it's kind of the sport that he's playing, right? And we hear that all the time, right? What's your favorite sport? Well, I like this. I think it's whatever sport I'm playing is I love, right? And if that's the way it is, great. Go have fun.
Yep.
But if you're going to excel at anything, that sport demands a certain amount and requires you a certain amount of time.
Yep.
And if you're not going to put your time in, you're not going to succeed. So the year of the three sport athlete that goes on to play, and what, you know, maybe you hear of athletes like Danny Ainge played professional baseball.
Yep.
He also played professional basketball. You know, what was Bo's last name?
Bo Jackson.
He played baseball and football. Those are freaks.
Yep.
Right?
Exceptions.
They're exceptions. That doesn't happen. But I think it comes down to when you get to be a sophomore and now it's time to really hone in on something, you got to look at it and say, okay, what does this sport require of me to be great? Now, don't get me wrong. If you don't want to be great, then you don't have to look at it that way, right? But if it, you got to look at each sport, and you got to say, okay, what does this sport require of me to be great?
Right.
What price do I have to pay to be great at this sport? What price do I have to pay to be great at this sport, right? So I think it comes down to what you love and what price you're willing to pay.
Right.
And I think that's where parents have to kind of help guide these young minds, because these young minds don't think that way. But as a parent, you've got to think that way so that you can help your child make good choices and make good decisions.
Yep.
You know, like they say to us all, they you hear this all the time. You know, if you love what you do, if you find something that you're passionate about and you go make that what you do for a living, then you'll probably never work a day of your life.
Yep.
Right? Because you love it. That's the same thing that has to happen with these athletes. They have to look at it and say, what level of love do I have for this? Because the same level of love you have requires to be successful the same price that you have to pay. And each one of them has a price if you're going to be great, right? So, but of course, most parents don't think like that, you know, because they're just wanting their kids to have fun. But then when their kids get into it and the kid's starting to love something, then you got to figure out how to support that kid the very best you can so that you're that support leg that they need.
Yeah.
So I think it comes down to that as far as making choices. And sometimes you have to give up something that you love, but you love it less than this. Right? I mean, I love my wife. I would give my life for my wife, right? That's the level of love I have for my wife. So what level of love do you have for basketball? What level of love do you have for football? What level of love do you have for whatever sport you're doing? Right? And then you got to understand that that level of love demands a price. And if you're not going to be willing to pay it, then you're not going to be great. I think it's pretty simple. But needs to be. Parents need to be more involved with their kids on those kind of things. They need guidance. Kids need guidance. So, anyway, that was a good little soapbox.
That was, I don't know what to add. So
that was a good soapbox, Dale, wasn't it?
Any last thoughts after that?
Exactly. I don't know. You know, you just kind of get going and you get all this stuff in your head and all this stuff that you've experienced. And then now, you know, I think they call what I just went through, I think they call that wisdom. Because you've experienced so many things. The older you get, the more wise you become about things. Rather than when you're in your 20s or your 30s, you're still trying to figure life out. When you've lived life, you look back on things, you have a different perspective. So that's where I think wisdom comes in, right? I love my ward that I go to because when I go to church, because we have a lot of older than me people in that ward. And I love that ward because when we're in Sunday school or any kind of class and there's interaction, I just love the comments. Of the elderly people in our ward that have so much wisdom about life. I love it. I mean, I just eat that up. So, you know, I think it's just experience and learning some things. And I think that's the reason we do this podcast. Jesse, is so that we can help parents with their kids, right? With their kids and understanding how to help manage their kids. Now, who manages a teenager, right?
Right.
I mean, teenagers are just all over the place.
Manage as possible.
I've got teenagers that live with me because my daughter has 6 kids and she lives with me. So I have teenagers living with me. And it is very, very interesting, you know. But you got these little teeny moments where they're ready to receive. And it's usually when something bad's happened to them and they're looking for a shoulder to cry on. Those are the moments that you can make a difference, is in those moments. So same thing. I think that with basketball or football or baseball, we're talking about multiple sports. I think we just have to help kids, guide them in what they love most.
And sometimes they don't know yet.
What did you love most in high school?
Basketball. Yeah, so I did baseball and football until 9th grade, and then I didn't stop loving baseball. My shoulder just started hurting, and it wasn't worth it to go through that and stuff, so that's kind of where I was.
And why did you pick basketball as your ultimate love as far as a sport?
It always was. Growing up watching the Jazz and playing basketball, it was always number one.
And did you find yourself always out shooting?
Yeah. I remember there were days when it was snowing and I was out there shooting on my flimsy backboard from DI that was worse than just having a board there. But, you know, so.
Oh, that's funny.
It was, yeah, that's just kind of how it was. But I do know people that were, you know, had two sports that they loved equally and eventually had to make a choice, and that's tough.
Do you have any regrets with your basketball? If you were to think about any regrets, what would be some of your regrets?
The only regret I had from high school was not playing tennis after senior year.
Okay.
So senior year finished, and I think tennis tryouts were the next week, and I almost did it for fun, but I was kind of just like burnt out from
three years of
basketball, and I was going on a mission, so I wasn't
really so you wished you would have played. You wish you would have played tennis
just for fun, and all that. So,
how about any basketball regrets? Do you have any basketball regrets?
Not really. I mean, didn't win a state championship, so that kind of sucked, but wasn't for lack of effort.
Yeah.
So,
how far did you get in the tournament?
Quarterfinals. Played that Lone Peak team that was number one
in the nation.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, it's basketball's been my life, so I can't complain.
The only regret I have with basketball is I had a chance to go play junior college ball, and I wished I would have. You know, I got home from my mission, and then I was working for my dad in construction, and I fell in love with my wife, and just priorities kind of changed on me. Yep. And so I decided just to get married and not go to college and play. And if I think back on any regrets, I wish that I would have took my wife and went to college and kind of had that experience.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would have turned out, but that's part of the regret, you know, because you don't know what would have happened. But I kind of wish that I would have saw that through. Because, you know, I've always loved basketball. So it would have been fun to see if you were good enough to play. I know you went and played college ball, but, you know, I didn't experience that, so it always makes me wonder.
Yeah.
Right? So therefore, I have a regret.
Well, that's how it always is, right?
Yep.
Like, if I would have played baseball and kept playing baseball, I was a pretty good baseball player, so I probably could have gotten far there too, but...
What was your position?
Second base.
Oh, that's what I played.
So... Second base, shortstop, somewhere in there.
I didn't have a very strong arm, so second base always seemed to be the best place for me.
Yeah.
I loved playing baseball. Yeah. I enjoyed football. I just was never a contact guy.
Yeah.
You know, my dad would say to me all the time, "Hey, when you're out there playing football, you can't play patty cake with the other guy. You got to nail him, right?" I just didn't have that killer instinct in me on the football field. Yeah. But I enjoyed playing it.
For sure.
So what do you think the takeaway from today is? What's the main takeaway from this podcast today?
I think it was kind of what you said as far as decide which sport you love most and then understand what that love demands of you, right, to be great. And again, if your only goal is to have fun, do everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Those demands don't exist.
Yeah, because, you know, in high school, you're never going to get another opportunity to do all that.
Yep.
Right? You're not going to do it in college.
Yep.
Play multiple sports. So in high school, it's really your only opportunity and look back on. I love my high school life. Some kids hated high school. I loved high school.
Yeah, I love mine. So
yeah,
I agree.
But it's probably because it comes down to the level of involvement that you have in something, and that's what makes you – enjoy it. And
I think that's the main takeaway. It's just demands a lot to be great.
It does,
right? But if you love it, then that demand isn't too much.
Yeah. So. Yeah, because, you know, you're never really, you're gonna love every part of it.
Yeah,
right? So yep. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. And again, reminder that this is not a basketball's best sport, so you need to put all your time towards basketball, right? If you love football, do football. Right?
Yeah.
If you love basketball, do basketball. If not, do something
else. I think at high school time, it's time to have some serious thoughts.
Yep.
About where you're going. And to have those thoughts of what you really love, what you really want to do, and then to put that effort like we've talked about today. So... But high school can be such a fun time, but it also needs to be a serious time because it's preparing you for life. It's preparing for you to – I have so many kids, Jesse, that say to me, I was with some girls the other day. They were in the gym with me, and we were shooting and stuff. And they just finished their senior year of basketball. And I said to him, I said, "Well, what's your thoughts? What are you thinking about? Because, you know, can you believe that it's over?" That's the question I asked him. Can you believe it's over? And they just both looked at me with big wide eyes and said, "Oh, I cannot believe it's over. This is something I love doing." And they're both going to go play college ball, but so it's basketball's not over with them, but their high school career is over. And it happens so fast.
Yep.
You know, it happens so fast. So that's why you got to give, I think you got to pause and give some serious thought to what it is that you really love.
Yep, for sure. For sure. Well, I have nothing else to add. I think we covered pretty much everything there.
Yeah.
So, great stuff as always. Thanks again, Kirk, for sharing the wisdom. You have much more wisdom than I do at this point, so I'll reach your level someday.
Well, I would say, Jesse, you're beyond your years. What are you, 27?
Yep, 27 last week.
27? So I know that you're way beyond your years of most 27-year-olds. So you have a lot of wisdom as a 27-year-old. So you're gonna be, when you get my age, you're going to be like a sage.
I got the knowledge. I need some experience. So
yeah.
Anyway, so, but again, I love multi-sport athletes. And again, I just love sports in general. It's a good life. So yep. My wife is learning to love it.
Yeah.
So
your wife, my wife's in the same boat because they probably grew up not doing sports.
Yep. She played, but wasn't a fan. So she played and loves playing, but was never a watch and enjoy and talk about it all the time thing. So,
yeah, anyways. my wife played 1 year of softball. That's the extent of her athletic career. So,
there you go.
And then she marries me.
Yeah. Well, my wife loves playing volleyball, but her shoulder pops out every time she does. So, but she still does it anyway. So,
but that's sad.
Anyways. Sports are a big part of life, and like we talked about, high school, and even after high school, playing golf until you die, right? It's always going to be a part of it. So that's the takeaway.
It's right? Fun times right now. We're moving into what? March Madness.
Oh, yeah.
I watched like 5 or 6 games yesterday, college, because they're in tournament week, you know? So championship week, and so now it's going into March Madness. Then we'll go into the NBA playoffs, and so it's great time of the year.
It is. And we keep rambling on, so we got to get out of here.
All right, sounds good.
We could keep going forever, but we're going to cut it off. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you guys next week.
Okay, thanks.